Hello, this is Pastor Sam Luke welcoming you to Victory Today. I'm going to share with you a message that I preached recently, and I pray that it will be a blessing to you. For more information, you can always go to our website. That's victorytab.org, or call us here at the church office at 804-744-8881. Let's go into that service right now where God is moving by His Spirit. Praise the Lord. Amen. Smile at somebody as you're seated. And turn with me in your Bible to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you're about to step into a new season. You see, the God that we serve is a God of seasons. We have four seasons. We have winter and spring and summer and fall, right? And the reason we have those seasons is because our earth is revolving around the sun, right? Am I right so far, you school teachers? And because of that, we have seasons, because God is a God of seasons. Well, listen, as a child of God, your life is to revolve around the sun, S-O-N, Jesus Christ. You may enter and exit many seasons in your life, but just like the sun remains constant in the heavens, that's why they call it the solar system, the sun remains constant in our lives. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I read where God said, I am the Lord God and I change not. I am the same from everlasting to everlasting. I read where it said, every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God is a God of seasons. But He doesn't measure seasons with clocks and calendars. Every time you receive a fresh word from the Lord, you have just stepped into a new season. Amen? Now, there's a reason for the season, and there is a purpose for the process. There are seasons that we wish we had never gone through. Come on, somebody. But it's in those seasons that are the most difficult that we learn and grow. I thank God for the mountaintop, but I can tell you, I didn't learn anything on the mountaintop. I had a good time. I enjoyed it. I won't tell you that I didn't enjoy it. It was awesome, but I didn't learn much. But you know where I learned something? Coming up the rough side of the mountain. When I had to go through a night season, that's when I learned something from the Lord. I didn't appreciate it at the time. I didn't want to go through the valley, but I found the lily of the valley down in the valley. I didn't want to go through the storm, but I found out He was a covert from the storm. I never would have known that if I hadn't gone through the storm. Nobody likes to go through the fire. But oh, I found out the fire will not kindle upon you. Nobody wants to go through deep waters, but I discovered the waters will not overflow you. The waters are rising, but so am I. I'm not going under. I'm going over to the other side. Hallelujah. Well, I know there are times when I'm in a dry season. Anybody ever been there? But he's rivers of water in a dry place, in a thirsty land. I know that there are times when we get weary in well-doing, but He's still the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. He's a resting place. We all go through seasons. I'd like to tell you that every season is going to be a party. But I can't tell you that. Sometimes you'll go through a season and you'll think, is this night ever going to end? But the Bible says weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And didn't the morning come, somebody? I said, didn't the morning come? Some of you are in the night right now that you say, I don't like where I am. Be encouraged. The morning is coming. Somebody say, praise God. I want us to take a look at the life of the Apostle Peter, because there are three key principles when it comes to discerning seasons. And I want to share those with you right now. First of all, a new season presents new changes. Number two, a new season provides new challenges. And number three, a new season produces new champions. Turn to somebody and say, friend, God called me to be a champion, not a chump. Amen? He wants to make a champion out of you. And there are things that change when you go into a new season. Change is inevitable. I mean, change is going to happen. When I was in high school, I ran track, and they timed me with a stopwatch. They need a calendar now. Things change. Amen. A guy told me the other day, bless his heart, he said, I went to a steakhouse and bought myself the most expensive steak in the whole restaurant. He said, I sunk my teeth into it, and they stayed there. Sometimes things change, and it's not always for the better, but change is inevitable. This little 8-year-old boy is like most boys, and if you be honest, there were probably a time when you told your parents you were going to run away from home. Well, he was 8 years old, and he said, I've had it with this place. He said, I'm leaving, and I'm not coming back. And so they called his bluff, and mom said, well, let me make you a peanut butter jelly sandwich because you'll be hungry when you leave. And dad said, well, son, let me go get you another pair of jeans, because when you're away, you're going to have to change clothes. And they fixed up his backpack and put that in there and put it on his shoulders and said, son, we're going to miss you, but don't forget to let us know where you land. And he had an old bulldog named Butch, and he patted him on the head, and he said, bye, Butch. And mom and daddy said, bye, son. And they opened the back door, and he went out, and they closed the door, and they watched him through the window. He went around the side of the house, ate the peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and then came to the front door and rang the doorbell. And they opened the door. Oh, son, you're back. We're so glad to see you. And he didn't know what to say. It was a little awkward, and he walked in the house. He looked around. He said, I see y'all still got that same old dog. And you know, it doesn't take 10 years to change. Things can change in 15 seconds. And I'm telling you, some of you came, oh, I'm about to preach now. Some of you came in here today and you were discouraged and disheartened. You came in here today thinking you couldn't make it. You came in here today saying, I don't know if I can just put one foot in front of the other anymore. Things have happened. Things have changed in my life. And you don't realize that God is about to cause you by faith to step into a new season. It's not on the calendar. How does it happen? God gives you a fresh word. God propels you into a new season because of truth and revelation. And it's time for your season. Somebody say amen. If you believe what I'm preaching, somebody shout praise the Lord. God in his creation made the seasons different. Winter is not like spring. Spring's not like summer. Summer's not like fall. Each one is different from the others. And every time you go through something, you've got to understand there's a purpose, there's a reason for it, and if you'll allow God to do what he wants to do, it'll move you closer to him in righteousness and true holiness. And ultimately and eventually, the purpose of God will be revealed in your life. If God didn't change our seasons, we would become complacent. I want you to look at Peter as he enters into a new season in his life. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 20, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen." Isn't that funny how one moment they're fishermen and the next moment they're fishers of men? "Then he said to them," watch this, "follow me and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. So one day Peter's an ordinary fisherman and Jesus passed by. I said Jesus passed by. I don't know where you were when Jesus passed by and found you, but he changed your life, didn't he? And he said, "Follow me and I will make you." What does that mean? In the Greek, it means you will sprout forth. Something is about to change. Something is about to come out of you. I'm about to produce something in you that you don't even know exists. I'm about to deposit something in your life. There's about to be a transformation. A new season has come to you. I've come to proclaim a new season for Victory Tabernacle. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. You're not just, and you know, I'm so tired of this. "I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm just an old sinner. I'm just a weak worm of the dust. I'm worthless. I'm no good. I'm nobody. Oh, woe is me." Listen, you're not just a sinner saved by grace. You know who you are? You're an heir of God. You're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Your name is written in heaven. You're a child of God. You're a member of the family of God. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're something special because God made you that way. Hallelujah! Glory to God. The Bible says if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. All things are made new. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God through faith in Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. If you know who you are today because of Christ, would you give him a big praise offering? Would you clap your hands? Come on, somebody! Make some noise in the house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stepping into a new season means new challenges. Let me tell you something, though. He never anticipated that there would be a day when bread and fish would multiply in his very hands. And this is interesting because I think this is probably something I missed. You know, maybe I was absent the day they talked about that in Sunday school. But we always talk about how Jesus fed the hungry multitude, and a little boy had a box lunch and he gave it to Jesus and put it in Jesus' hands. But listen, listen, Jesus did not distribute the food to the multitudes. He allowed his disciples to participate in the miracle. Now, see, I got a theory on this. Jesus took these few sardines and some bread rolls, you know, just a little boy. And so he lines up these 12 disciples and he gives to them, each of them, just a pinch of the sardine and just a crumb of that bread roll. Now, there's a reason for that. First of all, that's what he was given. And so if it comes from the Lord, it's going to be enough. And secondly, I think the Lord does that so we don't eat what he gives us. It's not enough. So we can't just eat it. We got to share it, right? We got to share it. You know why some of you are not getting blessed? Because God gives you a seed to plant and you eat it. That wasn't your harvest. That was the seed. You got a little bit. Well, I just have to get my, I'll just eat this right here. When God wanted you to plant it and reap a harvest. So Jesus gives them just a little bit. Now, this is not even enough for you. Peter, this, don't eat this. Because this is not enough to satisfy you, but I'm about to do a miracle. Now take what I gave you, turn around, and find 50 people and feed them. And Jesus said, watch this. I believe he nudged some of the other disciples and watch what Peter does. And he goes over and he says, this is from the Lord. And he looks down at his hand and it's just a crumb and it's a few, just a pinch of a sardine. And he reaches down to give it to the first guy and it turns into a Whopper Whaler with French fries. Hello. And special sauce. And he goes, and every time he does it, there it is again and again and again. And he goes to 50 people. And he gets, and see, Peter, I can relate a lot to him because he was like this type A personality. He was like an extrovert. I believe all the time he's jumping up now. Hey, look at him. Watch what I'm doing. Look what I'm doing here. Hey, come on. Look. And Jesus says, look at him. He's so funny. Can you imagine that? He had no idea when Jesus said, I'll make you, that that would happen. There was another day when Jesus is walking on the water and every one of the disciples frightened but Jesus, but Peter. It's just in his DNA. And he sees Jesus and all they're doing is bailing water and trying to survive. And Peter stands up in the boat. He says, Jesus, if that's you, tell me to come out there. Now, why is that strange? Because it seems to me that you won't stay in the boat. I mean, it'd be like, Jesus, why don't you come and get in the boat with us and everything. He said, no, I'd rather be out there on the water in the waves and the storm with you than to be in this boat without you. So, Lord, if that's you, because these guys said it was a ghost. These guys said it was a spirit, an apparition. But, Lord, if that's you, if you speak to me and give me a word, I'll come to you. Somebody said, Peter walked on the water. No, sir, he walked on the word of the Lord. Because Jesus, I believe Jesus got a kick out of him. See, everybody's not the same. And I think Jesus delights in some of us that are just kind of screwy a little bit, you know? I think we entertain him. And I believe Jesus just smiled. He said, watch. He said, Father, watch this. He said, come! And so Peter puts his big number 12s outside the boat. C-O-M-E! Here I am, Jesus. He walked on the word of the Lord. Jesus said, come. And he came to Jesus. And now here's the problem. He got his eyes off Jesus and started to sink. You better keep your eyes on the Lord. Amen. The Lord said, I'll make you. And he never anticipated the wonderful and glorious things that would happen in his life as he followed the Lord. But there were challenges. Let me tell you, first of all, his feelings were challenged. Listen, God calls us believers, not feelers, but we all have feelings, don't we? Don't you have some? Oh, well, I'll tell you what, my feelings are cast iron. I don't believe that. I believe everybody, if you have refined sensibility, some things hurt your feelings. Amen? Now, watch this. Jesus said, who do men say that I am? Matthew 16, verse 60. Jesus said, who do you say that I am? And Peter stood up. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Atta boy. And Jesus said, now I'm going to Jerusalem, and I'm going to be crucified, and I'm going to give my life a ransom for many, and I'm going to redeem fallen race. And Peter said, hold it! Hold it! No, you're not. Not if I got anything to do with it. Now remember, he's just blessed him. And he says to him, get behind me, devil. You don't want the things of God. Ooh. Don't you know that hurt his feelings? Don't you know that humiliated him in front of the disciples? He's just so proud that he's the one that said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it was upon that confession that the church would be built. And he's bragging about, look what I just got. I got a revelation from God. I spoke it out. I don't always say the wrong thing, guys. Look what I just did. And the Lord blessed me. And now the Lord said, I've got to go to the cross. And Peter said, oh, no, you won't. Oh, no, I won't let that happen. And Jesus turned to him and said, get behind me, you devil. You don't want the things of God. See, some of you don't understand that there's a divine principle in a reproof. All we want to hear, and you know why? Because we've been squeezed in the mold of the world. When the Bible says love not the world, neither the things of the world, that's what it's talking about. We've become like the world in our attitudes. Don't tell me I'm doing wrong. You'll hurt my feelings. If you do, I'll go down the street and find me another church. Bless God. You're not going to hurt my feelings. I came in here with my feelings on my sleeve anyway. You say something, I'll pick it apart. I'll go eat with my friends and we'll pick it apart. And pretty soon, you're going to hit the road. I want to tell you something. You didn't hire me and you can't fire me. And somebody said, well, we're paying your salary. I thought that devil went to hell 40 years ago. Let me tell you something. You don't pay my salary. What you do is you provide a way for me to be a full-time 24-hour shepherd. That's what you do for me. I don't answer to you. I'm not obligated to you. I am obligated to him. And as long as I'm a shepherd and a pastor, I'm going to serve him. But here's the good part for you. I have to serve you to serve him. But don't think I'm your hired preacher. Because there'll be times when I'll open his book up and say, thus saith the Lord, and you'll go, ouch. Ooh, that hurt. Ooh, that stung. Oh, I wish he hadn't said that. Oh, why does he keep saying that to me? That hurts my feelings. Sometimes with a new season, your feelings will be hurt. Why? Because with a new season comes changes. And you're going to have to adjust, and you're going to have to make up in your mind that you will bring your life into perfect alignment with the Word of God. God is doing you a favor when He reproves you. People used to understand that, but now it's like, no, say something, just make me happy. That's all I want to hear. I don't want to hear. Listen, we went down to the lake yesterday with our granddaughters, and my son-in-law is a good father, and he's a disciplinarian, and I know he is, and I don't get in the way of that. And Zion was not listening to him and wasn't listening to her mother, and we're close to a lake, and I know what they were thinking. She's going to fall in or something. Something's going to happen. Or, you know, children have to be taught to listen to their parents. And so he says to her, now I'm going to put you right here on this table, and if you get up until I tell you, if you get up, Papa, Daddy's going to have to spank you. It's the end of the world. I got to sit here and I can't get up. Well, they just let it go on. And lo and behold, if she didn't crawl off that table and look at him like, now what? So Daddy did what he said. He picked her up. Pop. He sat around. Papa! Oh, I felt like jumping in the lake myself because I was like, Papa! He said, no, Papa's not going to help you. You're going to have to learn to obey. Now, why is that important? Because there may be some day that she'll be about to dart out into the road, and Daddy's going to say, stop it! And she goes, I don't have to listen to him. Hello? Some of you don't understand that the Bible says the preacher is to reprove and to rebuke with all long suffering. There are times I'll say smooth things that you'll say, ooh, I love it. Oh, that was good going down. Ooh, I thank you for that word. That's sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. Ooh, thank you. I'll shout a little bit over that. And then there are times when I have to stand behind this holy desk and reprove you and rebuke you, not because I hate you, but because I love you. And as a shepherd, that's what I got to do. Come on, somebody. But it's to your advantage and it's to your benefit. So don't run away from that. Embrace that and say, well, with a new season, I have new challenges. And Peter got over his embarrassment and he got over his hurt feelings, didn't he? There was another time when the Lord had to challenge his prejudices because he said, we must needs go through Samaria. Listen, do you know what Samaria was to a Jew? It was a racial epithet. For a Jew to call somebody a Samaritan was the ultimate insult. But Jesus said, I've got to go through Samaria. And he changed his traveling itinerary at the last moment because there was a woman who had been married 5 times that was sitting at a well, or that he was going to sit at a well and wait for her to show up and change her life. And it challenged the prejudices of his disciples and their traditions. So that's what happens when you enter into a new season. Sometimes it challenges your feelings and sometimes it challenges your traditions and your prejudice. Then sometimes it causes you to say, wait a minute, what's going on? this is all jacked up. I don't understand it. I thought I knew all about religion. I thought I knew all there was to know about God. And this is not making sense. Because the Lord, the last thing he did is he took off his garment and took a towel and girded himself. That doesn't make a lot of sense to us because we live in the 21st century. But he's describing a servant, a slave. He girded himself with a towel and got down on his knees in front of the Apostle Peter and began to wash his feet. And Peter freaked out. He said, "What are you doing?" Now listen, this is how wrong we can get it. He thought for a moment that this was the ceremonial cleansing that was given to the high priest. Did you know before the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, they stripped him naked and washed him from head to toe as a sign of purity before God? And he said, "Oh Lord, wash my head and my hands, not just my feet." And the Lord said, "No, you're not dirty. I'm teaching you two things. I'm teaching you, number one, sanctification. But here's the important part, and we do this every week." Somebody said, "I miss those old-fashioned foot washing services. I don't know why we call it foot washing when we wash both feet." "Well, this is foot washing. We don't do the foot washing." We do it every week. Let me tell you what it is. Jesus said, "I'm about to serve you." See, we don't wash feet. Now, they did back then. Everywhere they went, they had to walk, and their feet were dirty, and the roads were dusty, and they wore sandals. So it was a common courtesy to go into somebody's house, and you wash their feet. If you go to my house, I don't say, "Take off your shoes and let me wash your feet." I say, "Would you like something to drink? Have a seat." It's a courtesy. Jesus went to a party and a woman came in and took a box of ointment of spikenard and broke it. It was costly, poured it over his feet and dried his feet with the hair of her head. And they criticized her. And he said to the ruler of the feast, "I came here to your party and you didn't even offer me any water for me to wash my own feet." It was a common courtesy. It wasn't about getting your feet clean. It was about serving one another. Thursday, people will be lined up down this hall and out into the parking lot to come here and get groceries and food. You know what we're doing? We're washing their feet. Every time you do something for somebody that can't help you, you're washing somebody's feet. Somebody say amen. Pastor Sam Luke again with a special prayer for you. I pray today that God will bless you and encourage you, and that what you've heard today will stay with you and you'll be able to walk out your faith. Thank you so much for being a part of Victory today. For more information, I want you to go to our website. That's victorytab.org, or call us here at 804-744-8881. Thank you for listening. God bless you. Until we see you next time on Victory Today.